In the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In Matthew's gospel today, we, as usual, find Jesus faced with arguments about laws from both disciple and Pharisee, as well as a Canaanite woman who desperately wants her child to be freed from demons. Disciples wonder with Jesus about how a person can be defiled in regards to what food enters the body. But Jesus turns this argument upside down as he tells them that being undefiled isn't about what enters the body, such as food, but what exits the body in speech, love, hate. Jesus even says that evil intentions, adultery, murder, and a myriad of other things you heard listed today, those are what defile a person, not whatever food laws have been put in place. And what Jesus does in this moment is he breaks belief and faith out of the law and plants them into the hearts of those who believe. He's opened up the gospel such that it can reach both Jew and Gentile, and it can now reach both those who know the laws and follow the laws, as well as those who don't. And it's not a coincidence that right after this important teaching, Jesus meets a Canaanite woman. And she shouts out and she begs for mercy. He doesn't answer, as he is set on his purpose. And his purpose is to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. However, the woman is persistent. She kneels before Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." Kneeling is a sign of worship. And the words in Greek here are Kyrie eleison, words that we know from our own worship. And so what we hear in this isn't a petty request from her. This isn't a superficial desire. She bows down, and in doing so, she recognizes Jesus as the Lord, and she worships. And when he is able to see that she knows who he truly is, he says, "Woman, great is your faith." In that moment, her daughter is healed, and we can only imagine that she is healed as well. But for the listener, so much is going on in just one page of scripture. But not only for the listener, but I imagine also for Jesus, a lot is going on here. You've got the cries of both disciples and stranger. You've got the opinions of the Pharisees always looming in the background. And in today's gospel, it would seem that Jesus is caught between contradictory requests. On the one side, he hears the disciples banded together, "Send her away." On the other side, the lone voice of a woman crying, "Kyrie eleison," "Lord, have mercy." And first, when I read this, I thought of how beautiful it seemed to me that while Jesus knew that his purpose was to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel, given the faith of the woman, he was able to deviate from that purpose because he knew how important it was to heal her. I loved the idea that he had just taught about how law could never keep us from compassion, and he turned around and there was an opportunity to practice what he had preached. I thought on it even more, and I wondered if maybe it wasn't even just the woman who was transformed and changed through this encounter, but maybe also Jesus. Maybe his humanity in that moment had shown through, as he had felt called to stick to his purpose and not be deterred by another of the many people along the way who needed healing. But then suddenly, in the face of the woman's faith, all of his divinity overcame him. And he was moved to show love and to heal. And then I read it again, and even more ideas wandered through my head. Jesus' purpose in this gospel is to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. However, what if in healing the woman and holding her needs and the needs of her daughter up as the most important thing in the room wasn't a deviation from his purpose at all? He doesn't say he was called to the wise house of Israel. He says he was called to the lost house of Israel. And in the cries of the disciples, "Send her away," I don't really hear wisdom. I hear cries of religious people who are lost. And again, it isn't a coincidence that Jesus tells them love and compassion are more important than the law, and that in their next encounter, they still struggle to see that they uphold the law as an idol and are unable to muster the compassion that the woman needs. But believe me, I'm not trying to blame the disciples in this scenario. Honestly, I think that on the one hand, I'm certainly a disciple in this story. Now more than ever, I can see why showing compassion might be hard for the disciples, because mustering the strength to show compassion seems pretty hard for me too. I literally cannot read the news at night because the reality of the world seems a weight of pain and hurt too heavy to bear. For one, the refugee crisis that I'm so moved and challenged by seems overwhelmingly out of my hands. And as for the violence between Israel and Palestine that clogs my news feed and the daily life challenges that those people must be facing, I literally don't even know how to think about that. An article I read said that children were being systematically murdered. And I wasn't extremely affected by it, not because I don't care, but because my mind and heart literally don't know how that is possible. I know it might sound dumb, but I just can't believe that this would happen. I don't know how to conceive of a world, especially a world made by God and called good by God, where those types of atrocities happen. And even if I chose to not think about the worldwide pain, if I just thought about our nation, there would still be plenty of pain and hurt to go around just here. Last week, I heard news reports about a man named Kent Hixon, an Anglican priest in Durham, and he happens to be cousins with a close friend of mine that I went to seminary with, and she's now a Lutheran pastor, and she had asked me to pray because he had disappeared, and I had been praying, and Joe also knew her, and so Joe and I had been praying together about it, and I also heard the news report last week that his body was found and that there is a man in custody for his murder. And my heart just ached and ached for this family, one of which was someone that I could actually put a face to, someone I actually know. And then in the midst of all of that, the suicide of Robin Williams, someone seemingly distant yet so close to my childhood, making me laugh all throughout growing up, and someone who was an Episcopalian and actually made me laugh about the quirky things that I will argue about. And then even if I didn't think about things on an international level, and if I chose to block out everything outside of this church and this parish, I would still be overcome with all the many friends that we have lost over the past couple of weeks. The mourning that we are doing over our friends Rosalie, over Will, over Waverly, and over Charlotte. And frankly, as my mind is clouded with the cries of the people in need and the people on either side of me, flanking me with pain and hurt, I can see why it would be hard for the disciples to show compassion. Not because I think we shouldn't, but because I'm so overwhelmed by the need that I don't know how I could actually help at all. I don't know how I'm anything more than a drop in the bucket of a well that's run dry. And when I look at the pain and the hurt in the world, I feel like I can't bear another weight on my soul. I look to the news of the world. I look to the needs of the congregation, the burdens on my own heart and my personal life. And I want to say that I can't take it anymore. Send it away. Yet I know that while I'm certainly a disciple in this gospel, I am also always the woman crying out over and over and over again, "Lord, have mercy." I know how many demons surround me, and I want healing for myself, and I want so desperately healing for those around me who suffer. I'm desperate for even so much as a crumb from Christ to remind me that there is hope in the darkness, and that there is love in the world that can save every soul. I'm lost in my desperation, just like her, and I would do anything to reach out to Jesus and feel his love in my life. And then, in the midst of all of that, in the midst of the woman and the disciples and everything right here, there's Jesus. Caught between the cries of the disciples, "Send her away," and the woman, "Lord, have mercy." I imagine Jesus was overwhelmed by the state of the religious society that would choose law over compassion, and most likely overwhelmed by the sacrifice that he would one day make. Yet still, even through the fog of need and hurt, Jesus can see through it and choose compassion, even when it's hard to muster and almost impossible to give. And I know that on Tuesday, I sat at the very back pew for the funeral of Rosalie Davis. And I've only been here 2 years, but I had met Rosalie in that time, and I felt like I knew her, and I was mourning her loss. And I will tell you that I cried throughout her service. From that first beginning anthem, I just got wrapped up in what I believe is the vast love that I hear in that burial liturgy. And you know, I think for me, the burial liturgy is always about the person who has died and how much we love them. But it's also always about something more. I didn't show up and cry on Tuesday only because I love Rosalie. I showed up and cried on Tuesday because I'm hurting and I feel lost in a world of darkness. And the words of the liturgy could actually recognize that. And the words of the liturgy actually had something to say to that. The words in the liturgy could recognize my pain, but also remind me that in every death there is always resurrection. The burial liturgy actually had a response. It had words for all the guttural prayers that I had been praying in my heart for weeks. And as I sat back there with tears in my eyes, my head down, thinking as I always do during the burial liturgy, really about everyone I've ever loved who has died, remembering their lives and mourning their deaths, I looked up just in time to catch the flicker of the Paschal candle. And I realized that the Paschal candle is the only light that can lead me out of this darkness. All the violence, all the mourning, all the loss, and it's the Paschal candle that leads me out. Because the only light that can lead us out of begging for mercy and into the peace of God is the light of Christ. And I pray today that God would make me a person who is led by the light of Christ to love even when it takes all of my energy. And I pray that when I'm here again, exhausted with grief and pain, which I know I will be here again, I will remember that the energy it takes to love is always perfectly spent. Amen.